From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dami e pane. This is Postcard from Poprad with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the beautiful Tatry Mountains here in Slovakia. A little bit of snow still left on the top. Don't think it's ski stuff, but it looks beautiful anyway. This is the programme where you have your sideways look at the news via Talk Radio X replay and, of course, the lovely Audioboo iPhone and RTI, of course. You're wonderful. Across the stagnating pond known as the North Sea on old-fashioned maps, sitting on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than Lee Banks.
I take objection to saying that I'm sitting on the face of Europe.
No, I didn't say sitting on the face. The zit.
That's even worse.
Oh, is it?
Well, that's like a... Yeah, anyway, carry on. Where are we going from here?
I don't know.
can I just do a quick message?
You can.
Gary, in the village of the damned, Woods, he was in Staffordshire, my village.
Yep.
Actually, Kate, this was nice, came to me in the pub last weekend. He'd been listening to the show,
right.
And he just said, Postcard from Poprad, and this is meant for both of us, is an absolute breath of fresh air. I thought that was really nice of him.
Well, not if you can smell my T-shirt at the minute.
And not if you could smell, yeah. Right. Stop leading me into these traps.
Well, it's kind of like hot and sticky and storms and, you know, that sort of hot summery, well, the weather you used to get in the UK, which you don't anymore. We still get that in Slovakia, so it's all good.
We get winter.
You don't get winter at all. Anyway, in this week's show, we'll do a couple of serious bits in a minute.
Excuse me, just have a look out of my window.
We'll be into some tech topics. Careful when you go on holiday. Public sector workers being banned from using the internet. Now, where is that?
And so they should be.
This is one. We've got a special story for Lee. We've got Dale. Oh. Thank you, Dale, for the Eurotunnel story. Not Dale
Winter. Dale Winter.
No.
Oh.
A poo powered a poo powered VW Beetle. I said it. How a 20-year-old Christian mobile phone shop manager managed to save the shop being robbed. Long distance phone call, obviously. A little bit from Churchill. Apparently, this is just stupid. A month long water pistol tournament is underway in the UK. You idiots. We'll also be looking at our campaign to clean up the internet. Sarah, thank you so much for highlighting this to us. And we also have to say thank you to East Coast Rail and to QuickFit. You never get quicker than a QuickFit fitter.
Yeah. Well, this QuickFit and East Coast Rail.
That's all right. There's no charge for the advert. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And what's wrong with being called Norman, then?
Well, I'll talk to that about that.
You've got my
teeth. Is that the only one we're doing out of my whole list?
No, yours are in there as well, but I didn't want to give you upstage you too much at the beginning.
Right.
Anyway, we are going to be a little bit serious to begin with because our sympathies go out to Moscow and all the Moscovites that are suffering with these unbelievably high temperatures, 40 degrees C or 104 in old money. And, of course...
That's hot.
That is hot. Unfortunately, this hot weather has prompted over 600 wildfires and sadly claimed the lives of at least 50 plus people. Also, Vladimir Putin has announced that normal exports of grain from Russia is not going to happen this time. And I can understand that. Look after yourself first. And equally, if you are thinking of flying out to Moscow, the smog over Moscow has disrupted air traffic at some of the main international airports. So check with your airline or your travel agent before you fly, just in case. And I'd have to say, being an asthmatic myself, it wouldn't be a place I'd go to right now with all that smog. Not good for asthmatics to go there. So
can I just say... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, go on, mate. Off you go.
All I was going to say is... and this isn't taking anything away from Russia at all. Our sympathy goes out to them, absolutely, 100%. But the wheat crisis that appears to be going on, quite rightly, like you say, they've got to look after themselves first. But I don't see why already prices of beer and bread are going up in the UK based on the fact that this crisis is over there. I think that is shameful. How can big companies... capitalise on the sort of tragedy that's happening over there. And it's very similar to what we're going to talk about later.
It's always the same, unfortunately. I suppose the answer is go to a different supplier. Anyway, sympathies to the Moskowitz, and I hope things get better for you soon. And also, forget the stupid politics over this one, boys and girls. Politics...
Excuse me.
Sorry, you're welcome. Politics just gets on my pip at times. It really does.
Mm.
Because what we're seeing, and we're not going to... I'm sure Lee will do a bit on that in a minute. The fact is, the spat between Pakistan and the UK has nothing to do with innocent Pakistanis who have found themselves after what is being reported as the worst monsoon rains in 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Over 500,000 of them have had to be evacuated. There's more rain on the way as we're doing this programme at the minute. Whole villages have been flooded out, totally submerged, killing about 2,000 people by now. And it's just unbelievably difficult for these people who live genuinely in third world existences. There are organisations like the DEC in the UK which have got campaigns going at the moment to raise money for them, for these. Mm. And these guys, they are not in politics at the moment. And I say at the moment because it's very easy to get trapped when you're in trouble. If you think about anybody you know that's been in financial difficulties, housing difficulties, just general difficulties at a high level, if somebody walks up to them and says, here's $5. They'll take it. They won't worry where it's come from. They'll just take it. And this is my message to the rest of the planet. If it is you do not help the Pakistani people, chances are some nutters will go in there and give the people money. The last thing you want at this time in that part of the world is nutters having the power to influence normal people. So please,
we understand what you mean by nutters.
So please give generously to the bona fide organisations that are doing good things. There's no guns involved in this. There's no anti-ballistic something or others involved. They are taking normal human aid out to places. And for that, we thank them. And let's just hope that the aid gets to the normal everyday people who've been hurt by this. So my sympathies go out to the area of Pakistan which has been worst hit, and let's just hope that the rain eases as soon as possible.
That's right, yeah. I agree with you 100%. And like you say, this is a story about people, which is what stories should be about. But you can't entirely discount the politics from this. Mm. I think it is an absolute folly on President Zardari's side to be over here discussing terrorism with Mr. Cameron while his country is on the verge of a major crisis. Mm. It's a ludicrous move on his side. What happened to Hayward of BP?
You know, well, same thing.
Over the fact he went playing golf while his company was flooding the Gulf. You know, it's just a stupid move. Anyway, that's
yes, I can't add to that, because if I did, I'd have to take myself off the radio, and I'm not going to do that right now because we haven't only just started. Couple of tech topics for you this week. Are you ready, Lee?
This will be really interesting, ladies and gentlemen.
Google is waving goodbye to Wave. Did you understand any of that at all, Lee?
I have no idea what you're talking about in any way, shape or form. You might as well be talking in a foreign language, but I'm sure it'll be very interesting to somebody. I'll join you. Hey, I found it now. Found it.
Right, well, that obviously explains the problem. Regular folks using... Well, Google Wave was launched just over a year ago by the same people who designed Google Maps. No comment. And Google have scrapped it because there's just not enough people taking it up. And one of the problems is, it's so techie the way that they announce these things that Lee didn't know about it. And if Lee's not going to... And if Lee don't know... And I mean, Lee's not a technocrat. He's a normal computer user. And this is...
There's nothing normal about me, thank you very much.
Well, there is in computering. And the whole thing is, it Google Wave was supposed to combine email, instant messaging and various other bits and allow you to share documents in real time and da, 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 da. And the trouble is, it was built by technicians for technicians, not for people like Lee. And if you don't build...
it's very simply, most of the things have been, haven't they?
Well, yeah. and the big message goes out to everybody. If you're going to design something, make it usable by the normal consumer. I don't care about all the widgets and gadgets in the background, which I can am very fortunate enough to understand. But if people at my home or people at Lee's home cannot just use it, it's not going to work. That's my message to
Absolutely.
Google.
Absolutely, yeah. One quick one on that as well, though, because you mentioned Google Maps in that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also, while we're berating these people for making techie kinds of things, mm-hmm. let's stop them making such obtrusive and intrusive things like Google Maps. Who wants a camera on a 7 foot, 15 foot stalk photographing in your bedroom?
Well,
and who, put it on the web.
Who'd want a picture of you on the web?
Photography in any? What, there's lots of pictures of me on the web.
I do think some, and this goes back to what Sarah was saying indirectly, which we'll come on yeah. to later. You know, it's just got to calm down a little bit, the internet, and start doing good things again. Then we'll be happy.
It's got to start doing things professionally.
Yes, yes. And I have to say, be careful, because there's been lots of announcements this week about the Zeus Trojan, not to be mixed up with yeah. Zeus companies, of which there are a number of them about, who do proper things. Apparently, there's a whole bunch of new machines infected by a virus. Just be careful, boys and girls. I suspect, and it is actually hard to find this Trojan, it's called a botnet, to give it its anoraki term.
I've heard of that before.
Yes, well, actually...
That came out years ago.
I think BBC Click did a big programme on it not that long ago, because we like BBC Click. It just infects machines, and what they're doing with it is they're using this system to... get banking, well, to actually damage banking systems, and I won't say any more than that because I think it's wrong. The good news is that the Metropolitan Police in the UK have been alerted to it, because yeah. it is affecting online banking in the UK. My message is this: just have, or ask a teenager if you get stuck, to make sure your antivirus, anti-Trojan, firewalls, whatever you want to call them, are all up to date. And whilst I hate the intrusion, it's often better just to leave your Windows update on rather than turn it off if you're not a proficient internet computer person, because it just stops your computer getting screwed up by lunatic idiots.
That's right. You know what? Sorry, go on.
Go on. No, you're right, mate.
I was just going to say, you know, I'll just... reading through the story, and I saw this quote off the Metropolitan Police. Nobody in power, and let's face it, policemen have some sort of power that debatably they should have,
yeah.
but their quote about this, which is affecting thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, is, "We're aware of the allegation." Well, well done, Metropolitan Police. That means you've got to go out and sort it out for us, isn't it? And catch the web criminals.
Mm.
What is wrong with this world? The web has turned this world into a war zone.
There's a bit. We'll talk about some good companies in part two of the programme who've actually got their heads around it.
Who I've been speaking to this week, if I may.
Indeed. Where are we? Oh, yes. I've got divided views on this one. There's been the financial results of both Barclays and Royal Bank of Scotland this week. Journalists are lambasting the banks and saying, it's terrible, they're making loads of money. Yeah. And they're also then saying, well, we want to borrow money from the bank. The trouble is, a lot of the money the banks were lending to people who couldn't pay it back is what caused the problem in the first place. Therefore,
yeah, but that's not really the way it's going, is it?
But the trouble is, banks, and especially for the UK, one of the biggest areas of generation of revenue is from bank profits. Now, if the banks make huge losses, you, as a citizen of the UK, have to expect your tax to go up. If the bank makes huge amounts of money, it can hold your tax down.
It's not even about that, though, Eric, is it? Basically, what we have is a load of bankers in charge of our money. right?
Yes.
It's as simple as that. Well, the banks are doing very well again, thank you.
Yeah.
And now they've had all our money, right? They've had all our money. We don't have any money anymore. The country doesn't really have any money. Personally, we don't have any money. And we don't make any money because the interest rates are so low. But the bankers are doing brilliantly.
Okay, let me give you a fact. One of the high street banks that's announced its profits this week has no input from taxpayers' money in the UK at all. And the other bank that is owned by, I think, 41% by taxpayers in the UK, has seen their share price go up. Therefore, your investment, Mr. Banks, because it's nothing to do with me anymore, your investment in a certain bank has gone up and is more profitable this week. The other one that posted profits you have nothing to do with anyway. So where's the beef?
Yeah, because basically, before, when I objected, you said I was normal. Well, in some ways, I am normal. I have no investment in banks. I don't even have any money in the bank.
You do.
No, really.
Because you're a taxpayer.
Well, that way, I mean, yeah, that's exactly the point I've just made. They've got all our money. They've sold all our gold. We don't have a lot left. And they are bleeding our accounts dry. If you have money in the bank, you are not making money. You are not investing in your savings. You are actually spending your savings to live in the UK now. And the banks are making millions. And they've already put £1 billion aside to give bonuses to the people who work with them. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for this swing to profit was because they put aside so much money to cover bad loans that they didn't think were going to be repaid, that now they've actually taken that out. They were hiding money away to protect themselves. They weren't looking after the British public or indeed the world's public. They weren't looking after them. They were looking after themselves with our money.
And do you think that the high credit card debt per capita in the UK had anything to do with that?
Of course it did, but we wouldn't have it if the banks didn't make it so easy to get a loan. Do you know what happens in Britain? I've had experience of this only 3 weeks ago.
I know,
yeah,
but listen, if a bloke, if a bloke's standing there with a box of bees or wasps and says, you can put your hand through this, and it's up to you now. Do you want to put your hand in the box full of stingy animals, or do you want to leave it outside? It's up to you. If you put your hand in the box, you put your hand in the box and it stings you, it's your fault.
Let's look at that sensibly. You were told that if you put that hand in your in the box and you get stung and it's all horrible for you, but when you draw your hand out, you've got £10,000 to spend, you might stick your hand in the box. And that's exactly what the banks are doing.
Very good answer, Mr. Banks. I like it. having said that, there was a report, I think it was last year on BBC World, about Slovakia. And they were talking to kids here. And one of the things that people do here, definitely different to the UK, is they'll save up for something. They won't. I mean, big things like a house or a car, they will obviously go to the bank for. But other things, they will save up for it. They'll wait. They won't buy it. They'll just hang on. And that's the big difference between the two cultures. Money,
well, that's right,
money in the bank here, money out the bank there. Simple.
Yeah, because that is what happened here. Tony Blair introduced this. Blair's government, all governments have wanted this, but Blair's government were more blatant about it. They want the nation to be in debt. They might hold their hands up and cry out in shame, oh, look at the debt, all this personal debt. But they wanted us to have it. They train people from 15, 16 years old to be in debt. Your education that we've already paid for is now paid for by personal debt.
We are
a nation that lives on debt.
You don't have to. Moving along, be careful if you're off to Saudi Arabia, because there's a ban on the use of BlackBerry phones, and this could happen in other countries as well. So again, check with your travel agent or however you're going. Chances are, there's been sort of, I don't know, whispers, gossip, that the UAE, United Arab Emirates, alongside Lebanon, India and Algeria, are possibly thinking about bans on the BlackBerry. Now, the reason that they're doing this is because the BlackBerry uses an encryption system, governments are concerned that they can't control it, usual sort of arguments, counter-terrorism and criminal activity. that doesn't impact on normal people going on holiday. But there are these things going on, so do have a quick little check before you go on holiday, just to make sure when you get there, don't take your phone off. This happened many years ago on another programme I was doing, at the time when video phones came in, and Middle Eastern countries were banning those and taking them away from tourists who never got them back. You have been warned.
Well, they do take your moisturising.
So with the public sector workers who were banned from accessing the internet, it was Jordanians. A study found that, get this, public servants were visiting 70 million websites at work, of which only 130,000 were relevant to work.
Yeah.
And
that's the way it happens, though, isn't it? Every firm suffers from that.
Jordanians have just banned them from doing it. And this is one of those, like, paperclip things. And I'll explain. People sort of go, oh, I'll take a paperclip. Doesn't matter. It does. Mm. It does. If a million people take them, that costs a company or a government, or somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. It's this old adage, oh, I'll take some paper home. Well, yeah. You know, pay for it. If you weren't working, you'd have to pay for it.
I'll tell you a funny story about that. It's not very funny, actually. It was terrible. But before I finally retired, I used to run a sub-editing operation for a daily newspaper. Mm-hmm. I had about a staff of about 20. When we introduced the internet to... I'm going back about 10 years. When the internet was introduced, obviously, everybody in the office, male and female, I have to say, went onto porn sites, so it was stopped immediately. It was just a bit of a laugh, really, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got called into the editor's office, right? This is terrible. he was a bit embarrassed, and he said to me, there's somebody in your office who's still going on porn, you know. I just wanted to let you know. And I said, hang on, I know who it is, because I did know who it was. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, and I named the bloke who it was. And he looked at me, he says, it's you. Me? I said, me? I'm not. And you know what was happening? This cheeky so-and-so, because we'd all been banned from going on porn sites, mm-hmm. had started to use my machine when I wasn't there to do it. And they all thought he was me! Guess what I did? Sacked him.
I was going to say, it's the second time I said this today, if the cat fits, wear it. Anyway, moving along. This is one for you as we get towards the end of part one, Lee. Shoppers in the US state of Pennsylvania can now buy wine from vending machines, Lee.
I know. I thought they were vending machines in hotels, you know, those little things in your room that you have to pay for them.
Burke. Apparently, and I didn't know this, the strictest alcohol laws in America are actually in Pennsylvania. And up until very recently, it's been state-owned shops, a bit like they do in Scandinavia, that have been selling the vino to people. But apparently, it's now vending machines. And I just wondered how profitable one would be parked outside your house, Lee. A wine vending machine.
It won't be very profitable at all.
Oh.
Because somebody around here would put a brick through it and run away with it.
Very quick, we love this story. Talk about yo-yo effect. And again, thanks to Dale for this one. Apparently, Eurotunnel. Now, Eurotunnel's the operating company that's got the big pipe between France and the UK. And there's trains on it and da-da-da-da-da. They're investigating, I can't believe this, after passengers were taken from Folkestone in the UK over to France and then back again without being able to get off the train. I just can't believe. Eurotunnel said it was very embarrassing. I'm not surprised. So when the train got to Calais, staff unloaded the front cars but didn't realise there was more cars in an empty wagon behind. So these poor people were sitting there, couldn't get them off, and only realised when they were on their way back to Folkestone in Kent in the UK that they hadn't been able to get off the train. Apparently, this has never happened before in our 16-year history, and it's very embarrassing for us, a Eurotunnel person each said. And apparently, the passengers have been given a full refund and offered a ticket for the next time they travel. Maybe the ferry next time, boys and girls?
The ferry next time you go, get a what did you call it? A prefund?
No, a refund.
Yeah, you remember when trains, when the doors used to open, you could open the doors yourself on a train.
Yes.
You didn't have to wait for the driver to flick a switch.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mate of mine, I can't remember his name, I was going to name him John something. Anyway, the train pulled in out at Manchester train station. You know when they used to pull up outside the station, away from the platform?
While yes.
Sort of
waited a bit. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he opened the door and stepped out. But there wasn't a platform there, so he fell out. So what he did, he got back on the train looking very embarrassed.
Yeah.
And said, oh, platform, sorry, no platform. Yes. And he opened the door on the other side and fell out there. He wasn't a platform there either.
Oh, I like this. Here we go again. Are some researchers taking it or talking out of our backsides again?
No.
Oh, I know. Scientists have physically proven it's impossible to get a tan all over. This research, this bombshell of a research, has come from the University of Edinburgh.
Yeah. And it's been published in the Journal of Experimental Dermatology.
Now, I'm going to link this to boys because, you know, I am quite a large fellow. It's got to be said. I'm not exactly, you know, your David Beckham lookalike.
Yeah, you're more like...
Stop it. I was just waiting for some comment about Star Trek or something.
Johnny Vegas.
I think he's smaller than me these days. The fact is that, you know, when you've got sort of man boobies and stuff like that, they move about. And therefore, unless the sun's in the right direction, it's not going to tan you all over anyway, is it?
No, you just have little white smileys under you.
But yes, we don't need a university funding thing to tell us that because we know anyway. And I just can't.
Your mummy. Thanks for the mummies. But they haven't mentioned that. No, they've talked about your BTM, your bottom,
your Derry Air.
Yeah, your Derry Air. What? Mm. How many words can we say for our bar?
But for bum? I don't know. Your nether regions.
Yeah, your posterior.
Oh, that's a posh word.
Yeah, see? Yeah, but they say that...
But you see, the one I can't say the one that's used in America because... No, the other one. Because that's a naughty word in English.
Which one? Oh, Fanny! I remember you have sat saying that.
Oh, no. He's done it now. We're off here. But can I just plead with universities... If you want, you know...
Stop fannying about.
Yes. And don't do stupid research that nobody's interested in.
How much does this cost?
I dread to think, Lee. I genuinely dread to think how much this is costing the taxpayer in Scotland and what the real benefit of it is. Because there's so much of this research, it's just plain logic. You don't need a doctorate to figure it out, for goodness sake. It's like saying, we've done some research, do not put your fingers on electric power lines. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How? Anyway.
And don't worry if Eric is sunbathing, because his bottom will eclipse the sun.
Thank you. Coming up in part two, we've still got that poo-powered VW Beetle, some long-distance phone calls, and congrats to people like East Coast Rail, and you can't get quicker than a quick. I can't do it now.
Quick,
I've been out of the country far too long.
Let's say, this is probably the first time that Postcard from Poprad, Consumer Corner, has stood up and said, what good eggs these companies are.
Yes, because we normally attack them. This is Postcard from Papa. We'll be back faster than you can get a milkshake out of a takeaway shop.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.